Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 4, Text 44. Sri Yudhisthira Uvacha. Devarsha etat ichamo. Veditum tava suvrata. Yadatma jaya sudaya. Pita dat sadave hi agam. Sri Yudhisthira vacha. Devarsha etat ichamo. Veditum tava suvrata. Yadatma jaya sudaya. Pita dat sadave hi agam. Sri Yudhisthira vacha. Devarsha etat ichamo. Veditum tava suvrata. Yadatma jaya sudaya. Pita dat sadave yagam. Others? Vacha. Vaishnavis. Sri Yudhisthira Vacha. Maharaj Yudhisthira inquired, Deva Rishi, O best saintly person among the demigods, etat, this, ichama, we wish, veditam, to know, tava, from you, suvrata, having the determination for spiritual advancement, yat, because, atmajaya, unto his own son, Suraya, who was pure and exalted, Pita, the father, Hiranyakasipu. Adat gave Sadave, a great saint. He, indeed, Agam, trouble. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Yudhisthira said, O best of the saints among the demigods, O best of spiritual leaders, how did Hiranyakasipu give so much trouble to Prahlad Maharaj, the pure and exalted saint, although Prahlad was his own son? I wish to know about this subject from you. Purport. To know about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the characteristics of his pure devotee, one must inquire from authorities like Devarshi Narada. One cannot inquire about transcendental subject matters from a layman. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 3.25.25, Satam Prasangam Mamavirya Samvido Bhavanti Ritkarna Rasayana Kata. Only by association with devotees can one authoritatively understand the position of the Lord and his devotees. A devotee like Narada Muni is addressed as Suvrata. Su means good and Vrata means vow. Thus, the word Suvrata refers to a person who has nothing to do with the material world, which is always bad. One cannot understand anything spiritual from a materialistic scholar puffed up with academic knowledge. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text 55, Bhaktimam abhijanati, one must try to understand Krishna by devotional service and from a devotee. Therefore, Yudhisthira Maharaj was quite right in wanting to learn further about Prahlad Maharaj from Sri Narada. Om aginati madam dasya jananjana shalakaya chakshur unmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam upakaram ayam dadati swapadantikam. So Srila Prabhupada says here in the first sentence or second sentence of this purport, one cannot inquire about transcendental subject matters from a layman. So does everybody here know what a layman is? Yeah, pretty much. Just an ordinary Joe. It comes from, practically it's... It comes from the Catholic Church, actually. They was divided into clergy and lay congregation. So the clergy are like, you know, the equivalents of the priests, of the Brahmins, like that. And the lay congregation were the ordinary people who would, you know, they were members of that religion, but they would work outside and they just come on Sunday for the service and whatnot. So that was where that originally, that word came from, clergy and lay congregation. And it's also, now when you hear that word layman, it means just somebody who's not not a member of a particular profession, you know, not an expert, just an ordinary person, somebody with some knowledge of the whole thing, but not really, not an expert on the subject. So Prabhupada's making that point that you have to inquire about transcendental subject matters from, not from a layman, but from an expert, you know, as a spiritual master, somebody who's actually not only conversant in the subject matter, you know, really knows it well, but has, especially in the case of Krishna consciousness, it's essential that that person has, like, purification of consciousness. I mean, in the outside world, somebody might be, you know, an expert just by having an academic understanding or even, like, practical understanding of a subject matter. There's no question of, like, purification of consciousness, but in Krishna consciousness, you have to hear from somebody who really knows the subject matter, you know, in an academic sense, and they have practical experience of how to apply that in life, and they're actually they're at a certain level of consciousness, of, you know, they're elevated in spiritual consciousness. When you hear from somebody who has those qualifications, then it has a very beneficial effect. In other words, then your consciousness will become purified. Then you'll actually become elevated in devotional service. Whereas if you're hearing from somebody who doesn't have those qualifications, it has no effect, the opposite effect, which is basically no effect. I have one friend, he was attending university, and there was one professor there. She was an expert on the six Goswamis. You know, she, that was her academic thing. She knew everything. He was telling me she knows more about the six Goswamis than probably any devotee in ISKCON. You know, she's an expert on the subject. So he was taking one of her classes. And he was saying she would talk about the six Goswamis in a very erudite way. But after the class, she'd go out in the hallway, she'd light up a cigarette, and she'd be standing there smoking the cigarette and just talking with the students about, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And maybe even about the six Goswamis. But, you know, what are you going to learn? I mean, you can learn some information from a person like that, but you're not going to learn anything. You're not going to be able to advance in devotional service by hearing from a person like that, with all due respect. We're interested in something more than just receiving information. You know, you have to receive transcendental knowledge. It's more than just like acquiring some information. Prabhupada was successful in his preaching because, yeah, of course, he had the correct information. He gave us correct information. But, you know, beyond that, he was a pure devotee of Krishna. You know, he was empowered by Krishna to give out this knowledge. And that's why when Prabhupada preached, he attracted people, quality people. You know, not all of Prabhupada's. You know, sometimes you get the impression when you hear early devotees speak, like all the early devotees were a bunch of hippies. That's not really the case. I mean, hippie in the sense that we had issues with the establishment and the way the United States, you know, things were going on in the United States at that particular time. We weren't in favor of the Vietnam War, you know, so many things along those lines. Weren't interested in becoming exactly like our parents. But, you know, a lot of the early devotees were, you know, very intelligent. And it wasn't like they were desperate and had nothing else to do with their lives. You know, they had different qualifications and talents and abilities. And you know, and that's what I'm trying to say. Prabhupada attracted quality people, people who had intelligence and would have done something different with their life. Nothing is anyways near as good as what they did by following Prabhupada. But, you know, it wasn't like they were just a bunch of hopeless hippies. You know, and Prabhupada attracted people like Stilson Judah, and, you know, even people who had qualifications in the material world. So this is because, once again, he was a pure devotee of Krishna. You know, people could appreciate the message, and it was more than just a dissemination of a transmission of information. You know, people were attracted by Prabhupada's purity. There's that verse appears in the Chaitanya Charitamrita: Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sabha Kabinaya Shravanadi Sudha Chitta Kordu Daya. The pure love for Krishna is lying dormant within the heart of every living entity, and it's awakened by the process of hearing and chanting. So when you hear from Prabhupada, or, you know, any pure devotee, but in our case, Srila Prabhupada, that dormant love for Krishna was awakened from within the heart. And that's what people were getting excited about. That's what the devotees were getting enlivened about. They were experiencing that. They could feel it, you know, that even if they weren't exactly conscious or understanding what it was going on, that's what was going on. Their dormant Krishna consciousness was being awakened but as a result of hearing the words of a pure devotee of Krishna. And that's why they became enlivened and they came forward to dedicate their lives to trying to follow and serve Srila Prabhupada. Whereas, on the other hand, if one hears from somebody who's not a pure devotee of Krishna, most likely they're not going to hear the correct information to start off with. And even if they're hearing correct information, it won't have the same effect. As a matter of fact, it could have an opposite effect. There's a nice statement by Sanatana Goswami. He says, Avaishnava mukod girnam putam hadikatam ritam shravanam nakartavyam sarpo chista yatapaya. That one shouldn't hear. Avaishnava mukod girnam. You shouldn't hear about Krishna from somebody who's not a Vaishnav, because it's like milk touched by the lip of a serpent. I once heard that explained to me where that analogy metaphor comes from. Is in India, they have, you know, the cows will be out in the field, and they have the milk bag is full, and it's not like the serpent comes and drinks the milk and then you come and drink it later. In other words, what happens is the serpent bite the cow in the milk bag, and that poisons that milk. you know, the poison goes right through the milk bag into the you know, inside the cow. That milk is then poisoned. Then, the farmer comes along, or the person comes along and milks that cow, thinking, oh, we're getting very nice milk, and that milk is poisoned because it's been touched by the lip of the serpent. You know? So in the same way, the Krishna Katha that's touched by the non-devotees, somebody who doesn't have the, devotional attitude or isn't following, basically, that's what happens. Sanatana Goswami, Sanatana Goswami's thing, it's like getting like milk touched by the lips of a serpent. It's going to have a poisonous effect. You're not going to advance and get purified and advance in devotional service as a result of hearing that. And you're probably not going to hear the right thing anyway, because it's very difficult for somebody who's not a devotee who's following to even get the message straight. I was always amazed at how, like, when reporters would come and do an interview, and then you tell them all the right things. The devotees would, of course, tell them the philosophy correct, but they just always mumbo jumbo it up. It's very rare that a reporter would be able to produce an article which accurately presented the philosophy. They'd always kind of get something mixed up or messed up. So when your consciousness is not pure, it's very hard to even give the right information out, what to speak of. It's impossible for that person to, produce the desired effect, which is help that person, help the audience get purified in consciousness. So, so then somebody might ask, okay, well then, if this is the case that, you have to hear from a pure devotee, then what's Lord Chaitanya doing by saying, yade deke tade kaha krishna upadesh, amada agyaya guruhana tade edesh? Lord Chaitanya gave that instruction. He said, wherever you go, whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna. And in this way, become a spiritual master. And, deliver everybody tada edesh and where you are, and your place, and your country. So why is Lord Chaitanya saying that? Well, we have to, understand it in the proper context. Because Lord Chaitanya is putting that order out there for everybody. See? But the way to understand it is this, that first of all, Lord Chaitanya is, by saying that, he's meaning become a devotee. He's not just saying become an official, person who goes around talking about Krishna. Become a devotee and repeat exactly what you're hearing from a pure devotee. Or in that statement, he's saying Krishna. See, so if you do that, even if somebody's kind of, not particularly qualified, even if we're not on the level of pure devotees ourselves, if we repeat what we've heard from a pure devotee, or, who's repeating what is coming in disciplic succession from Krishna, and if we're following, both those qualifications have to be there, then we can actually help people who we're coming in contact with. If we're doing those two things, we're repeating accurately, competently, what we've received from a pure devotee, and we ourselves are following. And Prabhupada, on numerous occasions, there's numerous lectures, I have a lot of pieces of paper where I've found statements where Prabhupada said, if you're doing those two things, then you're going to be appreciated wherever you go. You'll be, it'll have the desired effect. You will be able to inspire your audience and interest them in Krishna consciousness and help them advance in Krishna consciousness if you're doing those two things. Even you're not a great scholar on the subject, just if you're simply able to accurately, competently repeat what you've heard from your spiritual master, and you yourself are following. And the example could be given, it's just like, back in here in America, if you turn back the clock, maybe, I guess, let's see, it's the year 2000, maybe about 200 years or 150, 200 years, the Wild West, they had a situation where the American early settlers were coming out here, and they had some conflict with the Indians, the native Indians, what do you call them? Native Americans. Yeah. And I'm not saying who's the good guys and who's the bad guys. But anyway, there was conflict. And so they had a sheriff. Now, the sheriff was actually a genuine law official. I mean, I don't know what kind of training he had. But sometimes in an emergency situation, the sheriff would have to, if you have to deal with a bunch of outlaws or something like that, He'd just take anybody. He could grab anybody and everybody and make them a deputy. You know, this person became a deputy. And that person might not know, the law from a bar of soap. He might not know, anything about anything, but just it's an emergency. And all they had to do is be willing and able. If the person was willing and able, okay, the sheriff would go, okay, you're a deputy. And he'd deputize him. And then that person had power. They were also representing the law. They could, ride along with the sheriff and, when the sheriff said, okay, there's the bad guy, shoot him, like that. So, we're kind of like that in that category. Even, if somebody's not in the most elevated platform of devotional service, this is an emergency and Lord Chaitanya is deputizing anybody who's prepared to be, willing, able, and a little bit more qualifications required in this case that you have to, as I said, be following, the basic program of chanting 16 rounds and following the four principles and be competently presenting what Prabhupada said to us. We've been deputized. So, we're kind of like spiritual masters in that sense. We're actually Vartma Pradakshina gurus if we follow that minimal requirement. Let's see what else. Yeah, just in one example, just on this point of being a, the difference between a layman and an expert. Maybe it's not just a good example, but I just like myself, I know certain things I have to do, and I'll give it, it's just a small example, but I had to do an oil change on the motorhome, and somebody told me, oh, okay. Well, but best thing you got to do is you got to run it for 45 minutes before you do it, because when the oil gets hot, then then it'll drain better. So I was thinking, okay, and I'm running it, and I'm starting to do the oil change out in the lot there. So well, I got to stop bothering Ratna Bhushan, and I'll try to do this myself. So I'm running it, and I go underneath the thing, and I find out where the sump is, the place where it all drains into, and I start unscrewing it. And then Ratna Bhushan sees me under there. He goes, what are you doing? I says, oh, I'm letting out the oil. And he goes, stop! I go, whoa, what's up? He says, you're running the engine. I said, yes, what they told me to do. It heats up the oil. It'll drain better. He says, yeah, it'll drain better, and then your engine will seize because you're not going to have any oil in there. Okay. And I had to, had to stop and put the clap back on really quick, run out there, turn. So I didn't really know what I was doing. I was kind of like, I had some knowledge, but, I didn't really, and that's the difference between an expert and a layman. And there's so many different pitfalls there, if you're just like the layman, if Ratna wasn't there, I just would have drained all the oil out and kept the engine running because I was thinking, oh, it's going to drain better. And meantime, the engine just would have seized on me and I would have been out an engine. So, it's once again, it's like the expert in devotional service. It's he knows everything about it. He knows he knows the all the pitfalls, the ins and the outs. I mean, actually, unless you if you don't listen to, if you don't read Prabhupada's books, or at least study in some way, read the books, listen to lectures, study, you're not going to really understand how to properly proceed in devotional service. There's a lot of things you're going to miss. There's a lot of, one of the things you get by, really studying carefully is you get a lot of very detailed information knowing how to respond in a particular situation. Something's happening to you. You know exactly how to understand it and how to respond to it. I'll give you an example. I'll try to give a few examples. Okay. This is an example of kind of what I'm talking about. So somebody's trying to engage in devotional service, and, they're having a tough time. This is a little conversation that took place between Vishnu John and Prabhupada here in Los Angeles about 1968. So Vishnu John, I don't know if he was a Swami at that time or not, he said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, for a man whose mind is clouded to constantly chant Hare Krishna, a man who's always thinking thoughts about family, friends, country, nation, See, so somebody might be in that position. We might be in that position. You know, we're trying to chant Hare Krishna, but our thoughts are always, we're always thinking about family, friends, country, nation. You know, our minds are clouded in this way. So then Prabhupada's response, and we might not know what to do. We might be perplexed. You know, I think, well, how do I do? Do I stop chanting? Or well, how do I deal with this? So, you know, Prabhupada's response was, yes, think of. In other words, referring to, go ahead, continue. Think of your family, friends, country, nation. And he goes, at the same time, chant. Two things will go on. And he goes, and this will conquer. And he's laughing. As Maya is forcing you to drag you from this Krishna consciousness, you also force Maya by chanting Hare Krishna. Prabhupada says, there is fight, and Maya will go away. And he quotes that verse, Daivahyesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Dadacha. He says, the Maya is very strong. She'll force you to entice you to the other path. But if you do not stop, if you chant loudly, it's just like Haridas Thakur was chanting, and Maya could not victimize him. You know that. What was his stand? Simply chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Maya could not entice. Maya failed. Maya became his disciple. He did not become Maya's disciple. So Prabhupada goes, so this is tug of war. Don't be afraid of Maya. Simply enhance chanting and you'll be conqueror. That's all. Narayana parasarve na kutaschana bidyati. We are not afraid of Maya because Krishna is there. Yes, Krishna says, kuntaya pratajanahi name bhakti pranashati. You just declare, my devotee will never be vanquished by Maya. He's saying that, Krishna's saying that to Arjuna. Maya cannot do anything. Simply, you have to become strong. And what is that strength? Chant Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Loudly, he says. Hare Hare. And Prabhupada says, loudly, yes. Woman devotee, what is Maya? I know it's attractive, and actually it goes on to something else. But you know, so like, as an example, if you listen to Prabhupada's lectures, you read his books, you get instructions like this, which will, you know, give you like knowledge how to deal with difficult situations when they come up. Because everybody, at least I think everybody's probably experienced that. You're trying to chant, but there's so many things distracting you. You know, your mind's being pulled by worldly considerations. Here's how to deal with it. Prabhupada, you just heard from the pure devotee himself how to deal with that. You see? And not only see, you have the knowledge, you know, like Sura was saying, sharpen your sword, sharpen with knowledge. This is the knowledge, the instructions of the spiritual master. And you also simultaneously, at least for me, when I read it, I get like a lot of encouragement. I just feel like a lot of like, okay, I can be successful. I can make it. I go from feeling like kind of overwhelmed by the problem and discouraged and what's the word, like despair, you know, just feeling like, oh, there's no hope. And then you read what Prabhupada has to say and you feel like, no, I can, this is how to deal with it and it's going to work. And you simultaneously get the knowledge and the confidence to, and when you put it into practice, you see it does work, right? Here's some other nice instructions. Here's Prabhupada's talking about in this lecture about devotees and the attitude of devotees. So he says the Vaishnava should be satisfied in any condition. Not that I must have all these things, then I'll be satisfied. Otherwise, I'm going from the temple. And Prabhupada laughs. Says, no, that is not Vaishnav qualification. You must live with the devotees, even if you are not satisfied. Any condition, you should be satisfied. Because as soon as you leave the company, you become again rogues, again demons. So has anybody ever felt not completely satisfied living in the association, living with the devotees? Yeah, we all have, you see. You might not know how to deal with that. You feel that, you're thinking, well, what do I do? Here's the instruction. Here's what to do. Prabhupada said, you must live with the devotees, even if you are not satisfied. So the next time you're feeling not satisfied living with the devotees, just remember this. And just remember that Prabhupada said, no, you know, just don't take shelter of that mentality. You have to, you know, he says, because you have to, in any condition, you should be satisfied. As soon as we leave the company, we again become rogues and demons. And, of course, you know, unfortunately, we've seen that happen so many times, you know, to people when they leave. And, you know, somebody, you might experience like a fall down in some way, you know, from maybe not being able to follow the regular principles. There's so many different ways one can fall down from the ideal standard of devotional service. And as a result, you become a little discouraged. But here's a very, you know, nice instruction from Prabhupada, one thing definitely that we should, you know, do in that situation. He goes here, This is an excerpt from a lecture, of course. He says, even the rules and regulations fail, but chanting may not be stopped. Even sometimes we fail. Prabhupada goes, there is possibility of failing because we are conditioned and there's every chance of falling down. But then he goes, so despite you are falling down, still you should go on chanting. So I hope none of us ever find ourselves in that position, you know, where we're falling down and feeling like, oh, what to do. But once again, you know, you're not going to get this from a layman or somebody who's, you know, only the pure devotee of Krishna is going to be able to give you these kind of like, you know, insights and how to deal with the difficult things that come up as you're trying to, you know, progress in devotional service and give you these kind of realizations. So this is, you know, once again, this is valuable and encouraging, valuable information and simultaneously encouraging. Here's another nice one, and then maybe I'll just stop and see if there's anybody wants to say anything. Prabhupada goes, in the beginning, there may be some failures. That is quite natural. Just as a child is trying to stand, he may fall down. But that does not mean he should give up the idea. Go on. A time will come when you will be perfect. So we should not give up this business of trying to serve the Supreme. Maybe imperfect in the beginning, but stick to it. And the time will come when you'll be perfect, Krishna conscious. So once again, you know, so many beautiful different statements and encouragements. And as I said, you're not going to get that from a layman. You get that from the expert devotee, from the pure devotee, from the bona fide spiritual master. And we're very fortunate to have come in contact with such a perfect, bona fide spiritual master. And we're very fortunate to be in the Krishna Consciousness Movement, where we're not only hearing what Prabhupada said, and we're hearing what Prabhupada said being repeated by, you know, so many of his very sincere, serious disciples. So, like that. So I can stop there. I think it's about 10 past. Anybody have any questions or comments? Yeah. Yeah, she's asking about that point I was making about if you hear from somebody who's not a pure devotee, you might get the information. Most likely you're not even going to get the information correctly. But you might get correct information, but the poison's there too. Just like in that example of the snake bites the milk bag and the poison. The milk's in there. It's perfect, great milk, you know, but it's got the poison in there at the same time. So you drink it, and you don't get the benefit of the milk, or you might get the benefit of the milk, but you're going to get the detriment of the poison, and you're going to suffer from that, if not die. So she's asking, well, okay, so there's that situation, but what about when you're getting the information, but you're not getting it from somebody who's, on the pure level? But I sort of made that point. As long as you're like with, you know, the deputy, you know, if somebody who's giving you the information, even they're not a pure devotee themselves. I mean, you know, we're not Srila Prabhupada, but we're trying to repeat what we heard from Prabhupada, and we're following. We're chanting 16 rounds. We're following the forgative principles. And Prabhupada said repeatedly that if somebody's doing that, you know, even they're not like, you know, you're not like a great Vedic scholar. Well, Prabhupada's disciples have become like that, but even you're not. If you're just able to repeat what Prabhupada said and you're following, it'll have potency and you'll be able to, you know, benefit others. People who hear from you will benefit by hearing from you. See? So that's the main thing, that the person who is, you know, disseminating that information has to be following. They have to actually trying to be practicing being a devotee themselves, and then they'll be able to help, you know, benefit other people. Archita Prabhu?
Contact is the one with the gospel. make that connection for real, then you get interested. Then you get interested in spark. And then you want to look deeper into the whole tradition. Because it's not just in a personal arrangement, there's personal to God in there himself. Krishna is in the heart. If he's not pleased with me today, he's not going to inspire you to do the right thing. But when you get it, you make that connection. We use the example of the holes in the wall. There's so many holes, you can fill the right thing in. But unless you hit the right hole, you don't get any juice.
Mm-hmm.
So when you hit the right hole, when you make that connection, either directly to your devotee or to somebody who's connected to your devotee, then the juice flows. It's just a satisfaction.
Yep. Okay. Anybody else have anything? Yeah, Amala Bhaktipur. Waiting for a microphone.
Thank you for a nice class, Bhrigupati Prabhu. I just wanted to extend the analogy a little bit further in regard to not having a perfect teacher to begin with. For example, you go to school and you go into the first grade, second grade, third, fourth, and you learn certain subjects. You learn A, B, C, D, E. You learn numbers. You learn how to multiply, how to add, and so forth. So that first teacher is not on the level, for example, of a PhD who's teaching at a university. Okay, she's just teaching the fourth or third or second grade. But that is a basis or the beginning for that particular student to then go to a higher level and then goes to a teacher, for example, gets into middle school and learns algebra and geometry and trigonometry and so forth. So then, again, that teacher who's teaching those subjects is not on the highest level of the professor who has two PhDs at the university, but nonetheless was an instrument to get that student to the next highest level. For example, getting into college or undergraduate work and so forth. So each teacher becomes a precursor or precursor to enable the student to go to a higher and higher level, even though the teacher who is teaching the first, second, third, and fourth grade is not on the highest level, but enables the student to go to a higher and higher and higher level. And then similarly, we are in that same type of position. While we're not God-realized souls, whatever we can give, as you mentioned, in the understanding of the disciplic succession, that's the first thing, and that we're repeating what we have heard in the disciplic succession, and that we are also preaching in a sincere, heartfelt manner, that we want to see that person progress and grow and develop into the same higher level that we're aspiring to, then that completely conforms to the idea of whomever you meet. You tell them about Krishna, my instructions about Krishna, or the pastimes of Krishna, and on my order, become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in the world. So that's the basic idea, to instruct on the level that you have been given and do it sincerely, do it faithfully and accurately, as you mentioned, then that person will make advancement, you see, assuming that the person you're talking to is also receptive and sincere. Prabhupada's mentioned so many times that there has to be sincerity on both sides, on the side of the teacher and also on the side of the recipient student. So we're all on a different level, and Krishna will send to us different persons whom we can help to bring to another, a higher level from where they are. And by us doing that, we in turn gain the grace of the Supreme Lord to go to a still higher level, because we are trying to conform to what Lord Chaitanya has said, yare deka tare kaha Krishna upadesh, amara agyare guruhana tara edesh. So we're trying to conform to that idea, and that gets lots of grace, because you are genuinely trying to move and push on this Krishna consciousness movement. We have to understand that Krishna is very pleased when we make efforts to assist and help and generate in others Krishna consciousness to the degree that we are capable, without pretending, without trying to show that we're like Prabhupada or on that level, but just where we are, accepting that and trying to do our best in that standing.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. Thank you. That's a very nice comment. Thank you very much. Grantyor Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Where you are. I mean, if you're out in the street, then, you know, you just got to move away. If you're in the temple room, then you can just say, you know, just, well, yeah, if you're in the temple room, if you're in a place where that's, you know, everybody's supposed to be chanting, and somebody's chanting just, like, way too loud, you could approach that person and just say, hey, you know, tell me. No. If it's, I would say if it's in the temple, you know, you could, that person could be like, I mean, that happens to me all the time. I don't even realize I'm doing it, but I chant very loud, and devotees come over to me and they say, hey, you know, can you chant a little bit softer? And I make it a bit softer, you know, I try to anyway. But if I'm outside and I'm chanting loud, then nobody, you know, it's a big world out there, you know, nobody should come over to me and say, hey, chant softer, they can go anyplace. But, you know, if you're all trying to, you chant, like you might be chanting in the temple because you want to chant from the Tulsi. So then you have to be considerate of the other chanters and try to chant at a volume that